This is the Bears Barroom Radio Network, and the following program is recorded live and intended for all audiences.
Trubisky being rushed, throws to the end zone for Deion Sims. He's got it for a touchdown.
Bears Hour Live. Bears Hour Live. One straight hour of Bears talk with Bears Girl and that draft Dr. Phil guy. Monday through Friday, the barroom's got you covered. The NHL places tags, cause Fuller's got you smothered. Draft Dr. Phil, it's always hit sticks. Splitting double teams like 96 Akeem Hicks. Hour Live keeps growing, Mitchell keeps throwing. Dimes on time and in the window, bees blowing. Don't deny it that this show is a collaboration with a fan. Bears Girl moderated, Dr. Phil is the man. Bears Hour Live, Bears Hour Live. One straight hour of Bears talk with Bears Girl and that draft Dr. Phil guy. Bears Hour Live.
I thought Mitch, so we took some shots yesterday, and I like his mentality of being able to go downfield. And there was a couple in there where he had the aggressive mindset of even regardless of how far off they were, he still took an opportunity to go deep, and we liked that. So we didn't hit on any of them, just the one down the sideline to Allen, but there was a few others we didn't hit on. But I think that's for us, that's a good thing that we did that. There's a few times in the red zone where they got us with some pressure. But again, that's just for us. That'll be good for him to see. That'll be good for us as coaches to see where we're at. But there's a few throws that he made in there with conviction that I say to myself, that right there is what we're about to get to.
Hello, Bears fans. How good does it feel to be on top of the NFC North? You just heard head coach Matt Nagy talking about what he didn't like about Mitch Trubisky's performance and what he did. And you better believe the doc will be addressing what he didn't like about Matt Nagy's performance yesterday. You're listening, of course, to Bears Hour Live with Draft Dr. Phil. I'm Bears Girl, here to monitor your comments on Twitter, as well as those in our MixLR.com live chat room. We have a very special guest tonight who will join us a little later on to talk about the present and past monsters of the Midway. But first, as always, we begin with Phil's opening rant.
Thanks again, BG. Appreciate it. The first place, Chicago Bears. How about that? Those words, they haven't rung from my lips since, well, I can't even remember, maybe 2006, and it feels so good to be able to come on here and talk tonight about winning, being on top. You know, winning ugly, my father would always say to me, is still winning. In fact, it's after you win ugly that you can find your best and most insightful moments to teach your team the most important lessons. A struggling QB and the way he played can easily be overlooked with a win. The fact that the team and the defense came out flat for the first time all season can be used as a football lesson to highlight and teach wrongs in a win of any kind. That's great. But in an ugly win, the coach can carefully interject valuable misses into positive gains and to be critical and should be. But at the end of the day, would Green Bay and Minnesota love to be standing here talking about an ugly win today instead of their incredibly ugly losses? Something to take away from this game. I would always huddle my team up and on three, we would always say, with our hands on top of one another, together. It never changed. It was the message I wanted and I believe needed to resonate within my team. Together, they persevered yesterday. They came back from being down 14 points on the road and won. Bad teams don't usually do that, but the Bears, they did that on Sunday. But let me take it to a coach. Coach to coach. I said this on Twitter yesterday, rattling the bones of my house. You as a coach have as much responsibility as a parent to every child in that family. To overlook the other children because one child might need a little bit more support is neglectful. It can have an adverse effect on an entire household, and in this case, in an entire team. You don't want to coddle, you don't want to excuse behaviors. You must be consistent. You must follow through on your words. Matt Nagy came to the presser yesterday after an ugly, and I mean ugly, offensive performance and defensive first half. And he admitted that he's, quote, growing with decision making, and quote, this isn't about our offense or just about 10. This is about me growing too, end quote. No. To me, that's unacceptable. Fans, you could say whatever you want about me, about Bears Barroom, or the stances with which I take on play calling and personnel usage. But on this show, one overriding fact always remains the same. Winning is everything. And at the same time, it's the only thing. You could debate, you could throw stats or drunk tweets at me, but I will forever come from one spiritual place, the truth. Situational football, as I tweeted, is escaping Coach Nagy. It is. You don't run a shovel pass to a wide receiver who had a surgery on his knee on 3rd-and-1 if winning is important. I'm sorry. It's not old school thinking. It's about being ready to win every down, every time. And to carry that winning into December when it counts. Again, it's not just play calls. It's formations. It's personnel usage. Speaking of personnel, Kevin White and Mike Burton. Why? Injury occurs to Miller. It's of all people, guess who? Josh Bellamy stepping in. Where's Javon Wims? Mike Burton out there pushing after the whistle. Trying to be a tough guy, as the smartest man pointed out. Losing is a disease. Winning is the cure-all. And Matt Nagy is not helping. Now, Jordan Howard's numbers weren't impressive for the stat scout, but his effect on the football game, that was immense. Look at the very first offensive play from scrimmage. And then, again, throughout the game, not using him enough is a big mistake. As a coach, thinking that a QB who isn't calm and isn't relaxed in the pocket, whose eyes look glazed, and who seems to be guessing in his progressions, is going to be cured by more attempts in passing in critical football situations? I'm telling you, it's never happened, and it will never happen. Coaching can't be about pride. It has to be, at the end of the day, about winning. There seems to be two schools of thought. Win at all costs, and you have to develop your QB in order to win later. Well, I ask, why not do both by dumbing down the offense to help a young QB? You've slipped in reps, you slipped on timeouts, you slipped on situational football versus your most heated rival, the Packers. You can't slip on this defense, coach. You just can't do it. And my last point, and I'm sorry, but the little things do matter. They matter in a team sport. Not naming captains is as cute as going empty on 4th-and-1 and trying to run a shuttle pass with a wide receiver. even if it's how you've always been. You as a man, and to every man in that locker room who knows the captain of this team, is clear. In a lifetime of lifetimes, I could never believe that Mac was better than I could have imagined he was going to be. His effect on this football team, quite honestly, on every team on the field, is immense. He's a game changer and the unquestioned leader of a team with a young QB and a young coach, admittedly still learning. Well, let me help you out, coach. Get the sewing machine out and sew a big giant C on number 52. Stop the cute, senseless, and quite honestly ridiculous use of naming three new captains each week. There is one guy that everyone looks to. In fact, I tweeted out in the middle of the game, someone on defense needs to make a play and get this goddamn ball back. And there he was, right on cue. Some of you barflies pointed it right out. The very next play, Mac ripping the ball from Sam Bradford and getting it back for his team. It was Bears barroom analyst Danny Shimon, who was at the game and on Aldo and Danny's show, Bears on Tap, out there during the commercial break, seeing Khalil Mack gathering the players up, demanding their best. Is there any coincidence? A second half defensive performance for the ages proceeded to happen? I don't think so. 2-1 Bears. But changes need to come. Because even when you're winning ugly, it's better than losing pretty. And that is my rant.
Doc, I gotta agree, that was a very ugly win, but I too will take it over a pretty loss every single Sunday. Let's bring in your special guest tonight, who's been on a few teams that have had ugly and pretty wins. Joining us now is Corey Wooten, former defensive end for the Chicago Bears, Big Ten Network analyst, and host of the Bears postgame live show on Fox 32 Chicago Sports. It's an honor to have you with us on tonight, Corey, and welcome to Bears Hour Live.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
How you doing, Corey?
I'm doing great. Another win, right, from the Bears, top of the NFC North. I mean, what could be better, right?
Exactly. I don't think we've been there for a long time, as I said in my rant, but I'm excited to have the Woot Man, the Wu-Tang Clan on the show tonight. I got to get this out of the way because I know barflies and Bears barroom fans are so excited to have you with us, but I got to get the first question out of the way. What was it like to know, and I'm sure you hear this all the time from Bears fans, that you were the guy, you were the goddamn guy to knock Favre, on, get that sack and knock him out and end his career? What is that like for you?
Well, you know, you never want a guy to go down and that be his final play, you know, but the great thing was my first sack was against arguably one of the best quarterbacks to ever play the game. And a guy that tormented the Bears for a long time. So, you know, I know Bears fans are happy about that. But, you know, you never want to hurt anybody. And, you know, it's unfortunate that was his last play. But I guess that's what I've kind of been known for.
Well, I remember it like it was yesterday with you making a great move on the alignment and getting to the quarterback and just dumping him. And it was just, I keep it 100. I was just off my feet like I was watching this defense and just screaming, "Woot man, woot man." That was what I called you. But
yep.
I want to get into this because you're a pass rusher. You prepare for elite pass rushers. You study the film, and now you do it in your everyday life of your opponent, in the quarterback. Mm-hmm.
How would you approach attacking Mitchell Trubisky?
So I would have a, you know, recipe similar to what Arizona did early on. I would heat him up. You know, he's a guy mm-hmm. that kind of struggles sometimes with pressure. He gets a little bit of happy feet. He gets a little jittery in the pocket. And once you pressure him, obviously, you know, he can use his feet well. But early on, you saw him kind of struggle, you know, with that big sack he took. We lost 17 yards in the red zone, kind of made it a longer field goal. He struggled to diagnose that blitz. Ultimately, you know, he dropped back and scrambled back and lost those yards. So I would send the house at him, you know, and really, really make him force him make these decisions, because when he's pressured, he makes errant throws and bad decisions.
As a guy that's rushed the passer, can you talk a little bit about how good Khalil Mack is and how and what kind of impact he's had on the Chicago Bears?
I mean, think about this, right? He's had 3 weeks of practicing and barely practicing at that. Like, he didn't have an off season. He didn't have training camp. He didn't have OTAs. So these are his first 3 weeks of the season. This is a rusty Khalil Mack. So think about how much of an impact he's been. Think about week 8, week 9, week 10. When he gets in a rhythm, I mean, this is just the start. I mean, there's a lot more to come from him. I mean, it's impressive just what he's able to do, not only in the pass rush, but in the run game too. And that's why I always say he's the most dominant defensive player in the front seven in the NFL, because he can play the run, he can get after you in the pass, he can make those impact plays like interceptions, fumble recoveries, all that. He can do it all.
Now, you played with a guy in Cutler, and you've seen him. I know you've had quotes out there we won't get into, but when you look at Cutler and Trubisky, honestly, who would you take on your football team?
So, yeah, it's a good question for me on the spot there. But to be honest, I mean, just from the feel of the locker room mm-hmm. and everything, I think Jay Cutler, you know, obviously is a more talented passer, in my opinion. I think he has a stronger arm. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think Mitchell Trubisky, you know, what I've talked to some of the guys on the team, Kyle Long, a bunch of different other guys, is they love Mitchell Trubisky, right? They feel like he's a leader. He's a guy mm-hmm. that can lead this team. And obviously, you know, he's got to shore up some of these issues. But that kind of sold me there, because everyone knows Jay Cutler, I mean, it wasn't his personality. He's not a natural-born leader. He wasn't going to be that guy like right. Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, when the game's on the line. You're looking at him, and he's going to rally the troops. That's not Jay Cutler. You know, he's just not that type of person. I'd rather have a leader, personally. And I think Trubisky fits more of that role. He has to get better in reads and some of those things. But I love his demeanor. I love his attitude, and I love how he approaches it.
Look at this guy. I love the truth. Seriously, Corey, I love what you're doing on the television. I love the truth and analysis. To me, needs more of that. So when you look at the NFL, what are your mm-hmm. thoughts on this roughing the passer rule and how they're officiating it?
It's horrible. I mean, it's really affecting games and players now. You saw the guy, William Hayes, I believe his name is, from mm-hmm. Miami. Yeah, you know, he went to go make a play, and he tried to swing his knee around, his body around. He tore his ACL trying. This has so much of an impact this has been. But honestly, I understand the helmet-to-helmet stuff. I understand the going low deliberately. But routine tackles with your shoulder, hitting a quarterback, you know, within the time frame of the 2 steps, I don't get it. I really don't mm-hmm. get it. And it's really like fans are mad, players are mad. And what can you do? I mean, this is what we've been taught as football players, right, to finish tackles with our shoulder. Finish to the ground. Can't put mm-hmm. your body weight on somebody? I don't get that.
So let me honestly, ask you.
They're making the game softer, you know, honestly. And I agree with some of the helmet-to-helmet stuff and all that, but this mm-hmm. this is really soft.
Now, I watched the Packer Clay Matthews sack. Have you been able to see that
yep.
one?
Yeah, exactly.
Now, in my lifetime, I've never seen a penalty call. Like, I got to keep it 100, even yep. though I'm glad it was, because I can't stand the Packers and Clay mm-hmm. Matthews, but I got to be honest. You look at that play, I mean, I could see Corey Wooten doing the same thing, no?
Yeah, I mean, every defensive player, I mean, that's a routine play. That's a great play, right? He kept right. his head out of it. He hit with his shoulder, form tackle. He didn't do anything extra on it. He just finished through the tackle. Like, you can't avoid, you know, after you hit somebody, finishing on top of them. Are you putting your weight on him? What is he supposed to do? I don't get it.
Now, are you of the conviction and belief that there needs to be replay review of these calls because it's so speculative and based on the referee calling it?
I mean, it could be, but I think this is clear and cut. Like, these plays, they're plays that people have been doing from the beginning of time. I mean, mm-hmm. there's not anything extra on it.
Great point.
They need to meet together with all these referees and some of the dominant defensive players in there. You know, some of the pro ball players, the leaders, the guys that have been around the league for a while, and meet together and say, listen, as players, you know, this is really hindering us. Guys are getting hurt because of this. You know, we can't play the same way. We can't play fast like we did. And get together and find a plan, you know, so that way these guys can play football. Because that's what guys want. You know, they want to see the violent game of football, mm-hmm. obviously being safe with the head-to-head stuff and some of those low hits. But they have to come to an agreement and understanding of some of these calls.
Now, you experienced a great pass rusher come into your locker room in Peppers. Obviously, arguably, I think he's going to be in the Hall of Fame one day. We can debate it or not. But what is it like for you? You experienced it for a group of guys, whether it be in camp or that have been on the team, to have a guy of that caliber, like a Mac or a Peppers, come into the locker room. Is there any animosity? Is there jealousy? Or does that get weeded out?
It gets weeded out because at the end of the day, the main goal, right, is to try to win a Super Bowl. And get a bunch of wins, make the playoffs, and how do you do that? You build that around a strong pass rush, right? And a guy like
Absolutely.
Peppers, a guy like Matt, I mean, that only elevates it. You know, you look at when Peppers was here, right? You know, the pass rush was elevated when he came. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Khalil Mack, right? And you look at a team that was a top 10 defense a year ago, it even gets better with Khalil Mack. So they had 42 sacks a year ago. I think they'll go way above that this year. So guys aren't jealous about it. You know, the main thing that I've been surprised about is, you know, Khalil Mack being there and having double and triple teams. Leonard Floyd now has been singled up. And that's a guy I predicted to go big. I know he's been dealing with the hand issue, but he hasn't won really any of his one-on-one matchups. So I'm kind of baffled of what way he started, you know, preseason camp, really looking good, using his hands, working that inside move. And now I'm just seeing him kind of get locked up in pass rush.
You're killing me because you still stole my next question. I'm sitting here looking at, and a lot of fans get testy about this football player. So anytime I break down film or analysis of him, it becomes a two-sided street where people are saying I'm being too critical. The club is hindering him. You don't know. And I'm like, please break this down. Number one, have you ever had a club? Number two, a guy like Mac, not only should he free up because, as you said, I mean, Corey, there's plays on there that are inhuman where he's being triple teamed and he's still winning.
Yeah.
How inexcusable in your mind, I know how I feel about it, but I think fans, barflies need to hear from a former player.
Yeah.
Is it that he's not winning his one-on-ones?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's flat out, point blank, he's not winning his one-on-ones. I know he has the club issue, and I know he's getting that removed, and I think he's playing with more of like a brace now. But the thing is, right, I could see if he was a power rusher, you know, being able to use both hands, and that kind of limits him, right? But the thing is, he's a finesse guy. I mean, he's 6'5", 6'6", about 245, 250. He's not a power guy, right? So I want to see him get to an edge, the dip and rip, maybe hit that Dent move that Richard Dent perfected, but I want to see him get on edges more. You know, what I see him is down the middle trying to use the club and it's missing a little bit because he can't grip it. I want to see him get to edges more, you know, work the inside move, you know, because think about it. If you're on the right side, he's on the right side. That's the QB's blind side. You take that tackle up the field, he's got great speed. You'd be able to work that up and under move on him, you know, spin move back inside, and then that way you're able to come home with the sacks. But I see too much down the middle, not getting on edges with him.
When you, as a football player, especially as a professional, when you see a guy with that much athletic ability, and I'm sorry, the questions have to come whether or not mentally he wants to be that dog. Because if he had that dog, and you know what I'm talking about, He should be winning. He should be dominating that side of the field, and it's not. I'm looking at a guy, and you tell me if I'm wrong, so if you don't want to talk about it. I see a guy content. He's content, and he's not going to try to be the best player he possibly could be. Am I right?
So I don't know per se that. My thing is like this, right? People respond differently to injuries, right? And sometimes a guy can play with, you know, his leg damn near falling off, you know, and be fine with it. You know, Phillip Rivers played with a torn ACL and led them down the field and had some good drives. And Aaron Rodgers, you know, some guys that can just compete. Pain is not a, you know, anything that's affecting them doesn't matter. But this might be a case, right, where he's a guy that, you know, injuries affect him and affects his mindset, his confidence. So maybe that's what we're seeing, maybe a lack of confidence because he's not being able to use his other hand like he was. Because, I mean, the way he came into training camp, he looked great. I mean, in that first preseason game, he's working his inside move, talked about working his hands. I mean, so I think this was a huge blow for his confidence. So I think that's what you see there. You know, his confidence is a little shaky right now.
Do you think he can get out of this?
I mean, it's a matter of time. I think as his hand gets better, we'll see, right?
Right.
Know? Yeah, because sometimes a little thing like that, I mean, like I said, it doesn't affect some players, but some players, it's, you know, it really affects them, and it seems like it really has.
But in the 3-4 scheme, because you've played in a bunch of different defenses, so how important is the nose guard? Explain that, and how good is Eddie Goldman?
I mean, Eddie, I mean, they locked him up, right, for a reason. I mean, he's the highest paid nose tackle in the game right now. I mean, he's a young rising star. I mean, what he can do in the run game. I mean, he really flashes in the pass game. And you talk about, you know, Fangio's defense, right, when everything was really rolling in San Francisco, right? And they kind of have a similar game plan for some of those guys, right? Akeem Hicks kind of, you know, is similar to Justin Smith.
Right.
And Aldon Smith, Khalil Mack, you know, and then some of those linebackers, you know, Roquan Smith, they're hoping he can be a Naval Bowman or a Patrick Willis type. But that's kind of what the same thing with the nose, you know, I mean, it's crucial. He sets the tone in there. He clogs up the middle. You know, he doesn't get the pre-sack numbers like Hicks or, you know, Mack or some of those other guys. But his role is to clog up that middle, really cause destruction in there and free up some of those other guys. And, I mean, he's been doing a great job. And this year he's taking the next step. He's been getting more pressure. He had a sack early on. He's had a lot of good push on the pocket. That's what you love to see with those talented pass rushers outside.
You saw a young kid make a huge play in the game, and I'm talking about Bilal Nichols from Delaware. What did you think about that kid's play and performance? Because I know you got to see him throughout camp, and what do you think of him as a player right now? Are we to be excited about this kid?
Yeah, I definitely think so. And I think as the season goes on, he's going to play more. You know, I think early on you didn't see him as much. He's a young guy. You know, he's trying to get comfortable with this defense. You know, the coach is going to say, hey, we're going to give him a little bit of reps. We'll see what he can do. And in the big stage, you know, in that big third down, what does he do? He clogs up the gap, runs, and makes a huge TFL, you know, that you know, gets the Bears the ball back. So, I mean, he made a huge play on it. He's a guy, you know, I followed in the last preseason game when I called it. You know, that was my guy to watch. And he was all over the place. I mean, he's a guy that can really play. And I think, you know, as, like I said, as the season goes on, he's going to be rotating in there more for Hicks, giving him some rest. And I think that's a valuable asset to that D-line.
I got two more questions because I know you're on a pitch count here. And if BG, I just love talking football. So if you don't know Bears Barroom, I'm Draft Dr. Phil. That's my moniker, but Phil Atoshin. And I'm a big fan of yours, so I'm excited to have you here on the show. But I got two more questions and then maybe one question from the fans that are listening in tonight.
Perfect.
That would be great. Perfect. What was it like? Like, take us in for, you know, as a professional, because I've heard stories and I don't want to take your word. So preparing for Packer Week as a Bear, not this is a big rivalry. Fans are involved, people's families. Take us in. How was your experience for that week in preparing to play?
I mean, there's nothing like it. I mean, the energy, you know, being in Chicago, you know, you could just see, because I always lived in the city, and just seeing all the people wearing the Bears gear, talking about the game. Everywhere you go, turn on the radio, turn on the TV, Bears Packers, Bears Packers. And I mean, it's one of the oldest rivalries in the game. And my rookie year, we played them three times, right? Twice in the regular season. And then once in the NFC Championship. So, I mean, in that NFC Championship game, talk about a rivalry game for Super Bowl implications. I mean, that was the granddaddy of them all. I was thinking my first year, we're going to go to the Super Bowl. We're going to beat Green Bay. And, you know, a couple plays here or there, maybe Urlacher didn't trip, you know, on that kick. Aaron Rodgers got him by a shoestring, you know. But, I mean, that rivalry is just so intense. And preparing for a guy like Rodgers, I mean, you know, I know Bears fans hate him, but I mean, he is the best at what he does for a reason. I mean, look at him week one. I mean, coming back in that second half on one leg, basically, and carving up the Bears. I mean, that's just what he does, you know. And then people always talk about Brett Favre, but honestly, I think Aaron Rodgers is better than Brett Favre. I mean, his touchdown to interception ratio, what he's able to do outside the pocket. I mean, he's so accurate. I mean, those Hail Mary plays that he does. I mean, I don't think there's ever, you know, been a better player to orchestrate some of these drives than him. I mean, he's impressive. I mean, you know, and it's such that, you know, the Bears for the past, you know, 20 plus years have been dealing with Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers.
I know, you're killing me talking about that Monday night game already.
Yeah, it's hard.
I lied to you. I have one favor to ask before you leave the show after the next two questions. My last question, though, okay? Right. I had to choose between questions, okay? But I'm going to stay on Urlacher because I would be dropping the football if I didn't ask you. So you're a defensive lineman. You're in the huddle. It's a big moment in the game. I'm going to put you at Soldier Field, in fact. It's loud.
Okay. Yep.
Okay, the play gets called in. Urlacher, take us through what he's like talking to your defense and what he's like in talking to you.
Yep. So he's a QB of that defense. I mean, everybody knows that. I mean, just getting guys ready. I mean, like, talk about the ultimate leader. I mean, if we need to make a big play, it's third and long, it's third and short, he's talking to guys, come on, Pep, come on, Woot, come on, Melton, let's get after him, Radonjay, like, he's just getting us going. And the thing about it is, I've said this before, but he's one of the most intelligent players I ever played with. And the thing is, he would call out the offensive plays before it even happened. I remember he said, watch the boot, Woot, watch the reverse, watch the trap, you know, watch the draw. He would call out every single play. And that's just what separated him from the other players out there, was his ability to diagnose these plays. I mean, you talk about Tony Romo on, you know, on his commentary, right? Calling out the play.
Right,
that was Urlacher on the field. So, I mean, it was just super impressive. And I've never been, you know, teammates with such a guy that was so famous, yet so humble, so down to earth, so cool. And just being in that huddle with it. I mean, I can tell my kids about that, you know, like,
right.
Incredible guy, one of the all-time great Bears. Great person, though.
Bears girl.
I've got a couple of questions from the chat room, but we'll only pick one because we know that you got to go, Corey. Steven Zimmerman.
Oh, we're going
to. Okay, all right. Well,
yeah,
thank you.
I like this guy
so much. The first one is a Bears question, and it comes from Steven Zimmerman, and he wants to know, what do you think is Mitch's problem? System, scheme, ability, or smarts?
Well, I think he has the ability. I think the system suits him, but I think it's some growing pains. I mean, this is his first year in the scheme, you know, and people compare him to Patrick Mahomes, but you have to remember, Patrick Mahomes sat a whole year behind Alex Smith, right? So he had a whole year, redshirt year, basically, to get comfortable with this offense, really know it like the back of his hand. And Mitch has had limited reps through preseason, right? Allen Robinson was coming back from the ACL. Taylor Gabriel was banged up. And he didn't really have that chemistry and continuity with all these weapons that they got offensively. So it's a process. The one good thing, though, is they have such a dominant defense that they don't need him to play lights out. So that's the great part about it. So people are really hard on him, and I understand, because, you know, they traded up to get him. a bunch of these things. I get it, you know. But I'm just saying, it's going to take time. You know, Nagy said it, but you got to trust the process, right? We're going to see a different Mitch Trubisky as the season goes on, right? Rome wasn't built overnight, just like this Bears offense and Trubisky.
Our last question for you, Corey, is actually about draft Dr. Phil. He's going to be at the Northwestern game on Saturday, and being the excellent evaluator of player talent that he is, give him a name or two that he should scout.
So there's a guy that's really under the radar, in my opinion. I don't know if you heard of him. Jordan Thompson from Northwestern. He's a defensive tackle, and he's really flashed in there with the sacks. His ability to get pressure. I mean, I saw him during training camp when I went out there for a Big Ten segment, and I've seen him before. I thought he was talented, but I feel like he's taking the next step. He's able to use power. He's able to use speed and quickness, and he's a guy that I think is under the radar that some NFL scouts, NFL teams will really watch.
Look at this. This guy's bringing it. He's giving me more work to do. The next time you come on the show, because it's become a tradition that I write songs for guests that come back on the show, because
okay.
I am a world-famous songwriter, singer, and performer.
For some reason, I don't buy that, man.
I'm telling you. I opened up for Tribe Called Quest, and remember Leaders of the New School?
Yeah.
So, okay. So all right, De La Soul, they ring a bell.
Yep.
Just throwing names. Yeah, but anyway, I'm going to bring, if you come back, and that goes along with my favor to ask you, because we always ask our guests to give us a little station ID, who you are, what you do, and you're listening to Bears Barroom Radio.
Okay, cool. Ready to go?
Yeah, whenever you're ready. Or do you want a countdown?
Yeah, we can do a countdown.
All right. 3, 2, 1.
This is Corey Wooten. I'm an analyst for Fox 32, Big Ten Network, and you're listening to Bears Barroom Radio.
Boom.
One take, Corey.
He's got that money in the bank. People, look at that. Go. Look at that. I got to think of a song for the Woot, man, but I don't want to go Wu-Tang because that's too easy. So I'm going to bring something for you. But thank you so much for your time.
No problem.
Totally want you to come back and bring us where we are later on in the season and what your takes are then. But I really appreciate your time, BG.
Absolutely a pleasure having you on and interacting with you the last couple of weeks, Corey. Thanks so much.
Definitely. Thank you, guys. Appreciate you following me.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Corey is a man of his word, a very up-and-coming analyst in the game that's out there. And quite honestly, BG, I gave him some hard questions purposefully because that's what we do here. We want the truth and we want the analysts. And you really brought it tonight. So appreciated. I even thought you were off the air, so you're hearing what I'm talking to you about.
Exactly. Thank you, guys.
There you go. Hey, I'm about to
clock out now, but appreciate it, guys.
Bye.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, Corey was great. We've been interacting for weeks trying to get his schedule aligned. That man is busy. Between the post-game show that he does and other stuff on various other media sources and networks, and then trying to fly home every week, midweek, to see his family. It's an absolute privilege to have him carve out that 30 minutes for us tonight.
Oh, absolutely. It says a lot about him as a person. And I speak truthfully in his analysis. I was able to watch him because of Bears Barroom's Game Pass and the film study, so they would give you the Bears broadcast, obviously, for the preseason, and Corey ended up having to be in this one, and you know what? I'm like, who is this guy? Because I don't really listen. And then, I'm not blowing smoke here. The analysis tracked what it was that I was seeing. And a lot of times, and you can like Jim Miller or not, I know he has a lot of critics and what have you. I know Jim and knew Jim. I don't know what that story is, but I really thought he had a articulate way of breaking down the Bears, and it just seems to, much like my thoughts of Mitchell Trubisky coming into this year, it's been downgraded. So you have to put in the work, and when it real recognizes real, and the broadcast was better because of Corey, in my personal opinion, and that's not smoke, BG.
I would agree with you 100%, and so does the chat room. Are you ready to get into some Ask BHL questions?
Absolutely. I mean, I don't know how long Corey stayed. Let's see. What did he bring?
He was on just over a half, almost a half hour.
So I was able to double his time up, because Phil Atoshin in 15 minutes is like me and Aldo, you know, shaking hands and then me getting back on the plane and leaving. It's just not going to happen. So I got to tell you, you know, preparing tonight, I went into all these preparations. I have another 12 questions to ask the guy, but in the time constraints of this show, we just bring it. We truthfully bring it, and I'm proud that people want to come on this show, professionals out there, on a macro podcast and show. So I really like the direction of where we're going, and tonight I'm feeling fiery because we're the first place Bears, BG. Did you like my rant tonight? I mean,
I did. I had the pleasure of listening to it twice, and it fired me up every single time.
All right. I know we had to be quick to guess, but I didn't get your...
Real quick.
I didn't get your opinion. I wanted to make sure I'm bringing it every week.
You are bringing it. I will share with you some of the feedback from the chat room that Chris Armstrong, who had to pop out early, said it's a very calm rant. And she was wondering, you know, if she was going to miss something. And I said, it's coming. It's coming. And then she replied, and here we go. Steve Zimmerman wants to know, though, where are you getting your music? Is it royalty-free late night Disney?
I just, you know what? I sit down and I have a limited time because, truthfully, I have 4 kids. And I have a lot, I have a job, and try to write down my notes and thoughts and get them compressed, almost like songwriting, into trying to keep it short as possible. And I usually will search for some music in the genres that I prefer. I don't want to give away all my secrets here, but because we know how people like to copy Bears Barroom, I just... You know, I try to listen to it as I write and feel my flow going on. So that's how it's a great question. And really, I'm not stealing rights. I will use any song. So if you have a song, it just has to be an instrumental. And I go to town on it. And I tried to get everything in my power in it. But I wanted to say real quick in the rant, you know, the captain thing, to me, everybody and their brother, including the guy that makes Slurpees at the local 7-Eleven, knows that how great Khalil Mack is. So I think it's a disservice to this franchise and to this football team to have this quirky captain of the week, Mark Trestman type of thing, when the guy getting off the bus, you know, we asked we asked JJ Stankovic on Bears 100 Proof, who is the unquestioned leader of this team? And his immediate response was Mitch Trubisky. And I'm like, oh, that's wow, because I didn't feel it, to be perfectly honest, keeping it 100, BG. So when I look at Mac play and Danny Shimmons with Aldo after the game, and I just watched the games myself. The guy, I mean, Corey's not blowing smoke here. He's so dynamic. Like, he's better than I could have ever imagined. And that says something. So I think it's a disservice in this case to be cutesy and not say, this is our guy, everybody, because everybody's looking at him to lead them. So what are we doing here? And I think those little things, BG, truly make a difference in a football team that wants to win championships. It's clear that Aaron Rodgers is their captain. Okay? It really is. It really is. No one could deny that. Whether they like him as a leader or not, he's their guy. They don't win without him. Same thing with the Bears right now. This is the elite. I'm doubling down with Corey. He's the best out there. Unquestionable to me. I can't tell you how many holding penalties I'm seeing on tape, that it's almost a sin that these refs are allowing this, because they are going to say, and I think Aldo might have mentioned, why they got to call every one. Well, third down and long, and the guy's freaking grabbing his jersey and pulling him down. It's got to be called, because it's the difference in games. So it can't be negated. Like some basketball fan told me, well, that's the same thing with LeBron. He gets fouled, he gets tagged. They don't even call it because he's so good. This isn't right. So we got to keep on this, Barflies, and use your voice just like I do in the Twitter world and on these shows. Something's got it. This is watching it the second time, BG, on tape. I'm getting so angry that this fucking guy, excuse me, I swore, that this beep guy is getting held like this, preventing him from being even more incredible.
Let's stay on Mac, but before we go there, let's talk about that captain of the week drama that seems to be plaguing this team. Mm-hmm. Stacy is in the chat room, and she and I had the exact same theory and thought. It's very much like a participation trophy. I remember when I was in high school and on the track team, everyone got a bloody ribbon. Whether they actually ran the 1600 or the 800 or the dash, everyone got a ribbon. It was ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And Steve mm-hmm. Zimmerman is saying, it's like Oprah, you get to be a captain, and you get to be a captain, and everybody gets to be a captain.
Well, I'm sorry for not shouting out Steve Zimmerman on my... I was so fired up when the Bears won and the clock finally... I mean, that game to me was like a whole day of CrossFit. My heart was pumping, and sorry, Trey, I know you hate CrossFit, but that's what it felt like. And finally, when the double zeros, or the triple zeros rather, hit, it was just such a relief, and I was just so excited. I was just tagging loyal Barflies, that Bears barroom backers 100%, and you believe in us, and we feel you. I was caught up in the moments, but I forgot my boy Zim, so I apologize. But see, you get a whole draft doc expressed rant on you right there. And I appreciate what he does for Bears Barroom, a tremendous writer. We got some skilled writers coming up. This guy, Cars, I'm telling you, Chris, Trey, and Brett Maley, I love that guy. We have some great stuff at Bears Barroom, and it deserves to be praised and shouted out. So as far as the participation, I'm right there with you, BG. Somebody's got to get in his ear, and we've done Trubisky now. We've done Firefox. We've got to get rid of this rotating captain. He used a great Oprah analogy. That's exact. It's like, come on, this guy's the man, like everybody else, and then there's Khalil Mack. Like, that's how I Akeem Hicks, could I praise a player more than Akeem Hicks? I didn't think I could. I love Akeem Hicks, but I think Akeem will come on the show and be like, nah, bro, Khalil Mack, he's the best I've ever seen.
Well, and talking about Mac, Nelson mm-hmm. at Bears Lever 1885 is a question for you. Yep. He wants to know, what are the chances that Mac wins Defensive Player of the Year?
Well, judging by who's won Defensive Players of the Week, I don't know how the kid from Minnesota took it over Mac. 10 days into the Bears to come on a Sunday Night Football stage opening weekend and play like he did. So I worry, to be perfectly honest, and I'm not wrong in that, because I can give you evidence of Jordan Howard and Akeem Hicks and Adrian Amos being left off of the top 100, the all-pro team, and what so have you. In this case, though, the past in regards to his performance with the Raiders and his reputation around the league might help the situation, but I'm never going to bet on them doing the right thing in this situation. To me, he's by far been the best and most dominant defensive player in football for 3 weeks right now. It's not even close. Stats don't tell the story. You guys hear me say that all the time, right, BG? So It's clear. As I even swore on this show tonight, I so apologize, that I'm upset because he's not even being officiated appropriately. How are we going to expect them to reward him appropriately? So I don't know, Nelson. I concern myself, but he is deserving so far.
All right, let's take another look at someone who had a great game. Sherrick McManus had a sack, a tackle for a loss, an interception, and a quarterback hit, plus a pass defense. I bring him up because he did all of this in just 5 defensive snaps. 5. You have any love for McManus tonight, Phil?
Absolutely. You know, I'm always truthful. Here's a guy that I probably wouldn't have kept on this football team, keeping it 100. I don't know what he brought to the table. I don't know what, you know, special teams value is one thing, but I'm totally with Shane on finding, and that's the smartest man, finding talent that's going to help Mitch. So using roster space for these guys that play specials only, when you have so many specials only guys, I can go down the list, but you get where I'm going. But to see him play in the manner with which he made the play, the interception to me was just all about him wanting the football. You know, I talked about with Corey Wooten about Leonard Floyd not having that dog, that mental toughness, that you're one-on-one. This is a challenge. You got this. You're going to beat your guy, and you're going to do it with speed and physicality. You know, McManus goes out there and plays his best game as a Bear. And if he puts that together, you know, because we've seen this stuff before. Guys step up 1 week, where do they go the next week? Sometimes it's because of the coach not putting him in the game, Dowell and Fox, and sometimes it's on the player. So for me, McManus, his history will tell you he was a liability. But how they're using him, and let me be perfectly honest, is much better. And I've always said this about McManus being better equipped to play in that role of blitzing and used in situational football, as well as being an outside corner in a zone-based scheme and concept where he could direct and react to the football. So I loved what I saw from him. I totally am wrong that he should have been cut. He made me eat my words. Now keep it up, because if he comes out here letting up plays like he did, you know, that is what it is. But tremendous performance, 100%.
And we have a debate happening live in the chat room on what we should be calling him. Is it McMagic, McNasty, or McMantis? We're going to make a poll on BearsBarroom.com on Twitter, and people can vote on that.
All right.
Next question. Prince Amukamara and Marcus Cooper are both nursing injured hamstrings. If the Bears are forced to go without them, do you move Bryce Callahan to the outside? And after McManus's big game, do you feel comfortable playing him more against the Bucks, who are struggling tonight, losing 30-13 in the fourth.
This is what I do, truthfully. I thought about this today. I take Bryce Callahan, and he is matched up every single play with Jackson. No matter where Deshaun goes, Bryce goes. And we're going to give you a different look because you've seen what we are after 3 weeks. But Jackson is a guy that could beat you over the top. Callahan is a guy that doesn't back down. And my boy, Good Godwin, who's my best wide receiver in that draft class, just scored a touchdown. He becomes a difference maker because he can go up in high point football. So you're going to have to put Fuller on him. So you're going to have to play it, and Fuller's going to have to play, you know, Davis. So Fuller's going to have a big week, and then you're going to have to, me, I think a move by the GM should be to try to see if you can get Cravon LeBlanc off of Detroit's practice squad and get him over here. If Amuka Mara's injury is this bad and you can cut Cooper, put him on waivers with a promise to return if you want him back that badly, or maybe not. And you get LeBlanc to come in here so you can have Callahan outside, because I think Callahan has shown me, if he stays healthy, I mean, some of the open field tackles that he's made this season, I mean, he's in my list for Bear Up this week, not to ruin the show, but I'm so impressed with that football player on film because of his ability. I mean, he's improved every asset of his game. And what he brings to the table is a swagger and toughness. I mean, he's going in there, David Johnson, and full bore, rattling him without fear at his size. And then coming up on these bubble screens in open fields where players can juke you and go the distance, he's taking players down like he's Adrian Amos. And that's why I'm so high on Amos, because he's challenged in the open field like that. It is the hardest thing, second only to quarterback, I think, on a football field, to have a player isolated in the alley and they have a two-way go on you, meaning they can go right or they can go left, and you are challenged to make that tackle. You see it every Sunday. People miss their tackles. The difference between good defenses and bad defenses are those safeties or corners that are able to come up there and give your defensive coordinator the opportunity to blitz and be safe and sound in that alley by tackling those players and bringing them down for a 4 or 6 yard gain where it should have been a 60 yard gain. So think about that when you look at these players and how they perform. And in Callahan's case, he's been tremendous, and I think he could totally play the outside. But now the trouble becomes that nickel corner, and then you could use, you know, your boy here, McManus, on blitzes has been tremendous. In fact, he got held against Green Bay. It wasn't called tackled. So you have some options, but I just gave you my option that I would get LeBlanc in here, cut Cooper, and hopefully Prince is back and ready. I know that's the long answer, but I wanted to bring you in the chalkboard, the virtual chalkboard, to give you the understanding of how good these safeties have been, as well as Bryce Callahan at tackling other teams and keeping this defense, and getting this defense rather off the field.
Let's stay on the topic of Tampa. They are now losing 30-20, and Jose, aka, is in the chat room, and he wants to know, how big is this Tampa game next week, and who gives us a better challenge, Fitzpatrick or Winston?
I'm praying for Jameis Winston to be in the game, because I think he is one of the most overrated quarterbacks in the NFL, and I think what the Bears bring to the table is the last thing he likes. I think you want Jameis to be in there. I think either way, this is a huge game. You're in first place. Right now, if you continue to win, you go to the playoffs. and get in the dance. That's all you need to see if you can get to the Super Bowl. Crazier things have happened. The Buffalo Bills went into Minnesota and absolutely waxed them. And all the Josh Allen haters became, you know, Shane Marshall's crickets. So everybody writes a story. I put my heart and soul into my work for this show and everything I do for Bears Barroom, from Break It Down Mitch, inarguably, to the extent where no one could debate me on what I put on tape, because it will never lie to me, ever. It never has failed me. And we can go wherever we want, but this game is a crossroads game, because how do the Bears take to winning? You know, the Minnesota Vikings were reading headlines. You saw a Bears team for the first time come out flat against an opponent they probably should have beaten by more. A win's a win. I don't know what link you're clicking on, but an ugly win, no matter who, what, or where is telling you, is a great win. And it's an opportunity for you to teach and get this football team even better. Because, hey, guys, we could have lost this game pretty easy, and this is why. And look what you did here and how this has to change. And how they take to that tape and how they take to their craft is very important. That's why I asked Corey some of those questions about preparing for Packer Week and what it takes to be a good nose. Because you watch Eddie Goldman play this game, he's clearly, you know, embracing Khalil Mack and loving to do damage to free him up. The whole team, this defense, BG, I know this isn't a question, but it is an answer directly to Tampa. This defense, I'm not exaggerating. I know, Prince, that concerns me, but in every facet, I like what we have. I hated the breakdowns in coverage and the lackadaisical flat team that showed themselves there and that same old Bears feeling. How does this coach handle showing that tape and saying this cannot happen ever again? Because this Tampa team, guess what? They're 3-0 or 2-0, and they're in the game against Pittsburgh. We don't know what's going to happen. They're going to come to Soldier Field ready to play. They're not backing down. So how are the Bears going to respond to leading the division for the first time? As I said on my rant, I don't remember that coming off my lips. This is a huge game, and I'm so damn lucky and excited to be there with one of the best people I know, and Aldo and others that are going to be there with me, is impressive. And I'm seeing them return a kick as we speak.
Yeah,
there is
we
a
were
flag
just
down.
To that.
There is a flag down, though. But that's to say, at any given moment, if the Bears fans and in Corey's words about Aaron Rodgers coming in here and whooping on the Bears after you've won, there's no lead. Did you feel comfortable, BG, the other day,
even
against Arizona? No. Exactly.
Did you
there's
not
no
see
lead.
My tweet?
No,
I had the Rolaids out. I had Agita. It was awful.
Exactly. And I was the same. I could not calm myself down even after the game. I think I might have sent Aldo some emojis and love texts because I was so excited about what a game that was. Because I don't think, you know what? I think it's lost in what happened against Arizona. And I think it's happened before, and then we look back on it, you know, they are who we thought they were game. It was like, now we look at it, and wow, what a great game. But at that time, I remember that whole week leading up, and I'm sure the smartest man remembers this, and maybe you and Aldo remember, but it kind of was look, oh, you should have won that game anyway. You had to score two touchdowns on defense, and then Devin, your offense couldn't even score. It was like poo-pooed. You remember that, Aldo?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
So Now you look at it in the fantasy with which it is and was. I mean, I remember it to this day because my daughter Sunshine was in my lap. I'll never forget it. But in this case, against the Cardinals, you played that typical Bears. You came out, and I felt it too. I'm not ever going to lie to you guys. But then a switch was turned on, and an attitude adjustment was made. And it was number 52, guys. You see it. It's there. Danny saw it. And they rally around that. And that's why I think the little things are important. But this defense has an opportunity to win you a championship. That's how good they are. Anybody's going to tell you, that was the Cardinals. You shouldn't even have. They're going to tell you that. But this is the NFL. This is hard to win every week, especially on the road down 14. Come on. I witnessed history that day because Coach Nagy has an opportunity. Again, taking you on the virtual chalkboard or virtual meeting room with my team to say, you know what we did? We did the impossible. We did it. Everybody played a role in it. Mitch, Jordan, Kyle, Mac, Keem, Tariq, Parkey, everybody had a hand in bringing us to victory. Now, could we play like that for four quarters every Sunday? This is what it's about. If he gets that out of these players, this team could win now. If Mitch could calm himself down, go through his progressions, break down this offense a little bit, coach. Go in too tight. Get under center. Make it easier for him. Then you could win now. I'm telling you, you're that good. Why wait? I don't know what tagline is, what restaurant says, why wait? But the Chicago Bears should be saying, why wait? The time is now. You have an elite defense out there, and that is the reality.
So talking about Nagy, our last question for Ask BHL comes from Ill Will at 79 Ill Will. He says, as frustrated as all of us are with Nagy's play calling and Trubisky's decision making, neither are going anywhere soon. Pace is going to give both every opportunity to succeed. His own very survival as GM depends on it. How much time do you think they have?
I'm going to be 100% honest here. This is a great question, Will. It's something I would have to be a psychic to know. But I think your rhetorical segment in the question, you know, it's step for step with the GM. How are you going to, you know, rationalize doing anything with Mitch Trubisky? You know, if this is week 9 and Mitch is continuously having these errors, how are you going to do it as a GM? Are you going to handle the situation appropriately? You know, I tweeted out in the game, truthfully, I believe this 100%. When he booted and threw across his body and almost got picked by Boston, I'm like, get this dude out. I truthfully, as a coach, because he's showing me that he's not understanding the critical play and the situation that was in winning that football game. If that ball was intercepted, a la Kyle Fuller against Aaron Rodgers, the game's over, guys. There's no chance to be where we are. So sometimes you have to send messages. There's no, you know, fans get a little flip-floppity. You know, you can't talk about Mitch. You can't talk about that. You can't do this. I'm going to talk about the truth. And the truth is he hasn't been good. And there's reasons why. And you can have your reasons, but I'm going to always look at what I believe is the Bible, and that's the tape. and he's got to get better. And the coach truly has a responsibility to get him better. Now, if you have an elite defense, Will, and you have this team winning games because of their defense, despite their quarterback who's throwing turnover and can't get in the red zone. Now, we didn't see it. I saw some good things from Mitch. Aldo put up Mitch stumbling from Bears barroom account and then throwing a dime ball to Trey Burton. Why can't that happen every play? What is going on in this kid's mind? What is the playbook like to him? I don't know that, but I know it needs to change, and that's the coach's job. So the GM and the coach need to talk, because right now this kid does not look like, in fact, one of our Chicago Plus, I think that's his name. I wish I could pull up my Twitter.
It's huh? Shy Bears Plus, and Shy he's Bear. In the chat room.
Look at him. Right he now. Put up, he, well, shout out to you, Shy Bears Plus. I apologize for not knowing your name, but he put up some film. It was actually film that I've clipped and put up in praising Mitchell Trubisky for his awareness in the pocket, for his ability to understand and throw anticipation balls accurately, stepping up in the pocket and delivering, showing me the kind of toughness that Mike Glennon has never had in a single follicle of hair in his body. This was the kid I saw coming into this scheme. Where did he go? He doesn't look the same. But if he could do that, and they just scored a touchdown to make it 30-27, they're coming back, which is good because I want them to be undefeated, guys. But I'll talk about that tomorrow. But this guy needs to come back. I see glimpses of it. Danny and Aldo talked about it on the posts on Bears on Tap. You see, Shane talked to me today. We see glimpses of it, but he's not the same. He's got glazed eyes, Shy Bears Plus. And when you have glazed eyes, you're either one of two things. You've been out on the town having a great time, and you had a few too many, or you're overwhelmed by the plays and the situations that you're being asked of you. So clearly, I'm believing he's not drinking before doing anything before the games. So I believe that he's overthinking all of this or just doesn't grasp what it is. And as a coach, listen, high school coach, I had to switch my whole game plan to play another team that week. I had to change my whole offensive philosophy with high school kids, not professionals that could study it all week, as Corey was saying. So I know it can be done. You have plays in your playbook. You know, as bloggers have said, reps don't matter. Well, they do, because you got to go over the plays in order to get those reps to have continuity and cohesiveness. So throughout the week, if you have to take plays that you might have used in the preseason that have worked for him, and get under center. Mitch is a better quarterback. Remember, he didn't do it in college. He's never under center. I look at him, and his throws that he's done well have come off action game. Zone, read, boot. Gets outside the pocket. Do these things, build his confidence up, and get him in the right places. Because then the talent is there. There's not a question of that. It's the processing. It's, you know, Mark Schofield was on here. Emery Hunt was on here. They're all saying the same thing that Shane and Aldo and Phil and Danny Shimon and Trey Busy on 100 Proof have said. He's having trouble processing. So let's, you know, you've all had a book report. You've all been in class and you've had to study, you know. When you condense it, and you only have to learn a little information, if you could compete and play in a little, then you can add more. So Shane used a great term to me today. I'll steal it from him, but in my fashion, I always give credit. I will say this. Instead of spooning him, they're shoveling it into him. And that's exactly a great analogy for what's going on with Mitch. And I just don't see any Ryan Pace moment of moving on. I could see in a game, if he's struggling, that you bring in the quarterback. As a coach, I'll tweet it out. I'll tell you, it's not meatball me. Trust me. I want to win. That was the worst. I mean, his decision the previous week against Seattle that they dropped was bad, real bad. You know what I'm talking about when he boots and spins and goes to the left and throws it into the end zone and should have been picked. That was really bad, right? The Cardinal quarterback sin is going on a boot, seeing an open man late, and throwing across your body, across the field late in a critical moment. Christ, Brett Favre did it and cost them a Super Bowl, a Hall of Famer. I get it. But in this case, with a player struggling, you can't have that in this kind of situation.
What a game this is turning out to be. And we obviously can't rule out the Bucs are absolutely in it to win it, and it will be for us on Sunday. Phil, let's remind our Barflies and all our new listeners of our podcast lineup this week. On Wednesday morning, a brand new 100 Proof will hit your podcast streams and then pop right back here live on Wednesday. Then on Talk Night. Then on Thursday night, live back here on MixLR.com. Let's talk it out. Let's talk it out. And it is going to talk it out. And it is going to be a out. And it is going to be a very. And it is going to be a very. And it is going to be a very. It is going to be a very. It is going to be a very special. Be a very special show. But wait, there's more. Listeners can also expect a new Fantasy Football Goon show coming out this week. And of course, we're back here on Friday on MixLR at 9 Central in the morning for the Mike North Advantage. And if that's not enough Bears coverage for you diehards, we have lots of amazing articles from our talented group of writers that Phil mentioned earlier to read over on bearsbarroom.com. And for our local Chicago Barflies, Phil, you will be in town this weekend, and you will be at Bill's Bar and Burger on Friday night at 8 p.m. That's at 30 East Hubbard Street. I've been there. Amazing time, amazing food. So come on out and join him. Phil, as always, you get the final word.
Well, I didn't hear if you mentioned Bears 100 Proof will be out on Wednesday. This show becomes...
Oh, shit, sorry. See? Yes, it comes out... Yes, yes.
So, see, I always have to be on top of you, BG.
It does come out on Wednesday because you guys are recording it on Tuesday.
There you go.
This show comes out on Tuesday.
Correct. I just wanted to correct that. Yes, I'm excited. Is Trey busy in the chat?
I don't see him.
Oh, all right. Well, Aldo could shake his head, yes or no. Should I wait? Okay, I'll wait. No, announce? Yeah. Okay, I'm good. So, I am coming to Chicago. I've been asked to come, and my whole trip has been taken care of by a Barfly, and it's humbling. And for somebody who works as hard as I do on the shows and in life and have a family, and me and my wife live check to check, I mean, it's hard, as all of you listeners know, to have four kids and toddlers that are young. So I'm so humbled by the generosity and the compassion. And not only that, to fly me out there, Aldo's putting me up and going to the Cubs game, Bills, and a Northwestern game, a high school game, but also going to the Bears game. And the guy, I never got confirmation if I could say his name, so I'm not. I'm going to keep that professional, but has given me tickets, and I wanted to take Trey Busy with me and Aldo to sit in these beautiful seats watching Bears Bucks together. It's going to be an experience like no other. I was hoping he'd be in the chat tonight. Well, if he's not, someone could text him and tell him that, brother, you are coming with me and Aldo. We're going to have a great time, the three of us, well, the four of us, and we're going to be talking Bears and watching history, really, because let's see these first place Bears, Aldo and BG, go out and beat these Bucks. So excited to come to the city. I can't even tell you. I don't know what I was more excited about, the Bears being able to pull that win out and being first or coming to Chicago, but I'm going to side with Chicago right now because I can't even contain my excitement to be a Bears barroom analyst coming to the city, meeting people. I'll be there. I love people, like I said. I love to talk, as you could tell, and I'm excited to come there. So, Trey, love you. I am so proud of Bears Barroom, Aldo. I've said it before. I'll say it again real quick. See, I could speed up my voice, too. I'm so happy that we're doing and taking on this venture. I'm excited for Trey, and I'm excited to meet all of you barflies. Even if you can't come to the game, reach out to Aldo. We'll be in town. I don't know where we're eating Friday night. Oh, we're eating at Bill's Friday night after the Cubs game. So there you go. Saturday, I'm going to eat somewhere.
Wear your stretchy pants when you go to Bill's. You'll absolutely need it.
All right. I will do that. I'm excited to meet Double A.
Double A.
I'm going to be doing a tailgate show. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be a great weekend. And let's hope the Bears are going to be as victorious as I believe they will.
And then you'll be back here on Monday night with me doing Bears Hour Live.
That's
hopefully
right.
Recording and reporting that we are still leading the division.
Absolutely.
None of this would be possible without our barflies. To all of you listening in the chat room and the podcast, thank you so much. Here's what some of you had to say tonight. Steve Zim Zimmerman on fire as always. Reminded us that he was playing Madden today and Mike Burton ran right past the middle linebacker on a power run so he could block the safety. The most realistic Madden in years.
Oh, that's great.
Ace Daniels was in the house and he said, Trubisky looks like he forgot how to play football. I've never seen anything like it. Stacey's in the house, and she wants to remind the Bears that that offense better be ready for a lot of blitzing on Sunday after yesterday. You know it's coming. Mm-hmm. And Chai Bears Plus is giving you back all that love and says you are his spirit animal.
Thank you, bro. That was nice of you.
That wraps
I
want to
say one quick thing. One quick thing. I went out to a dinner date with my wife. We go into this Japanese, what is that called? Freaking A. When they do the show and they throw the egg. What is it? Hibachi. The hibachi. So they're doing the hibachi thing and it's great. And we're sitting there and all of a sudden I'm there enjoying it. I hear the draft doc. My wife's like, someone's calling. And there's this group of a family of Bears fans and totally barflies in Connecticut, knew the show, the songs, and the rants. So that kind of energy to me means a lot. So I shout all of you loyal barflies, you guys mean this stuff to us. We clearly appreciate you. If you don't know that, please know that. And it means a lot, and I'm glad when you send me these DMs or Aldo or Bears Girls what we're doing and what you want us to do too and have ideas. That helps us too. So just want to thank you all again for listening in. It was a great show. I appreciate you all.
And Double A is in the chat room and he's letting us know that it's Tapanaki. not hibachi. So
it's called hibachi in Connecticut, me. I don't know.
All right, that wraps up this edition of Bears Hour Live that we are renaming Bears 100 Minute Live, so we don't need to change the logo. We will see you all next week. Bye. No, I won't. Just as long.